we are talking about, I think, what can reasonably be called a Fredericksburg institution.
Yes.
That has only been around half as long as the Fredericksburg institution you had on the previous segment. Jan Williams, yeah. I used to introduce as the Martha Stewart of Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
I came to realize that Martha Stewart is the Jan Williams of the rest of the world. Because she is such a treasure and has had such she's had a great life. In her own way, in many respects, and it's been such a thrill for us to be able to work with her, and we're so happy, as you talked about with Lindsay and with Jan, how we're going to be able to put a real focus on her. So, but you're right, 23 years for Great Lives, this upcoming 2026 season will represent that, and it really, it began as any mighty oak would with an acorn, with the seed of an idea that Bill Crawley, history professor at Mary Washington, had to do a series of lectures on biographies of people who had an impact on history and culture. Not necessarily good, very often, in fact, bad, negative, but they were impactful. They had a significance to their society, to development of, you know, the nation, the world. They left a mark for good or for ill. And with the perspective of time and scholarship, you could bring in authors to do lectures on these people. Now, originally, at the very beginning, they were largely local talent, certainly many wonderful faculty members at what was still then Mary Washington College, too. But then gradually the net started widening a bit, the amount of support. This lecture was founded through a wonderfully generous gift by John Chappell, and there were other gifts of his later on that really helped start the basis for us to be able to start attracting authors who do charge honoraria for their appearances. And the circle just kept widening in terms of our ability to pull in people, either academics, journalists, historians, and authors of greater and greater reputation, and Pulitzer Prize winners started to populate the ranks of people who did Great Lives lectures, and people with a national, even international reputation. I don't know how many New York Times bestsellers and other best-selling authors. So it really has evolved, and it began also as a class, a course at Mary Washington students could take in the history department. That, for various reasons, faded away, and in part the pandemic had an impact on it. We are bringing the course back in 2026. It's on the schedule for the spring semester of next year. So we're very excited that that element of the course is returning.
Interesting. So interesting. Two of the more impactful ones for me that I always remember, because one of the things was it's not always people. There was secretariat's been.
That's Bill Crawley's favorite.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
The only one to be done twice of a non-human.
Yeah, because so that was Bill Knack, who's a Sports Illustrated writer, who I knew from writing it with Sports Illustrated, and had followed secretariat, and it was just that one was just fascinating. The other one was, and I didn't know about the book, I didn't know about the author, and I didn't know about the Great Lives series till after it was here, was the, and I can't think of the author's name, but it was the latest book on Ty Cobb that changed the whole view of how Ty Cobb is viewed today, that he wasn't the racist that he was portrayed in several other books. And that book had just come out, and I heard a whole lot about it then afterwards, and someone said, well, I saw the author at Great Lives, and I went back and watched the video of it, and it was just fascinating.
Yeah, it's sometimes you will see that an author brings a new approach to a subject, or will have produced a book on a subject, a person whose legacy and impact maybe time has somewhat passed by and you sort of rediscover.
Yeah.
President James Garfield, for example, was a subject. Charles Goodyear, C.W. Goodyear, did that biography last year, a lecture on his book. If you ask almost anybody who might remember anything about James Garfield, they'll probably remember he was assassinated.
Right.
That's sort of that. In fact, there's a miniseries, I think, on Netflix that sort of builds up to that. Goodyear took a look at the entirety of Garfield's career and found an amazing story of someone who was really steeped in the American political tradition, understood the processes, was a consequential leader in Congress, had a distinguished Civil War career. So he said we'd add depth and context to someone who was really a footnote for the one terrible thing that ended his life.
Right.
And there are many, many examples that we have some this year, and I'll mention here as we get into the heart of it. You're on a journey of discovery sometimes of people that society in a way sort of forgot or laid aside, and sometimes we can bring them back into view for people.
I read the book on Garfield after the Great Lives lecture, just because I thought, and he did it. I mean, he was a major figure, and had he not been assassinated, would probably be viewed as one of our greater presidents.
I think so, yes. And it's like watching Titanic. You know what happens at the end. You see the story of Garfield's life. You think, well, it's all going to be, but it's the story before. Yeah.
I can't imagine putting a program like this together. I mean, it's of how you do it and to be able to do, to get dates fixed and just to find the topics that you do, but every year it happens.
Well, one way that you do it, at least that I do it, and I know Bill has, is having a great team.
Yeah.
Allie Hebers, the director of community events at Mary Washington, and she has other duties. She is the maven of commencement each year, working with a lot of other people for that too. But for Great Lives, I call her the field marshal of Great Lives, because she is working with the authors, getting their contracts sorted out, getting their travel and lodging arrangements, everything they need. She's working with the university personnel who are staffing Dot Auditorium, Doug Noble and his staff. She is on just a huge number of fronts, helping implement so much of what we do to make sure this comes off, you know, every year. You know, this year 16 or next year 16 lectures. Jonathan Windsor, who was a student employee for us, a Mary Washington graduate, is our media consultant now, postgraduate, and he is the one who handles getting all of our social media out, works with our website. So that is one way that this is done, is that you get the right people doing the right jobs. It is a process of discovery, of scanning the various book lists and book reviews that come out, getting lots of tips and suggestions from many, mm-hmm. many people. And then as you start to try to look at the matrix of, okay, can we balance, you know, gender, race, occupation, time period, you know, a lot of other factors. And then you start the negotiations, you make the inquiries with authors, sometimes directly, sometimes with their agents or their publishers. And that can, you know, taking on a lot of different paths. Some people, even ones of huge reputation, aren't worried about compensation very much. Others, it's a much higher priority. And we work within a budget range that is not massive at all. And yet we are able year after year to attract people. And I think the reputation of the program that has built over time. Yeah. We have a lot of repeat people, but a lot of times, that word of mouth, that professional word of mouth, will draw in authors, or they'll go, oh yes, I'm familiar with that. So it is a bit of an art and a science each year. I'm in my second year of doing it as director. I love it. It's fascinating. It'll be my job in retirement from my museum role at Mary Washington. So it's quite a process.